All right, Full Throttle Motorsports Hour. I'm your host, Bob Schott. We're here sitting down with Aaron Pierce today for tonight's episode number 2 recording. How you doing, Aaron?
Good, man. How you doing?
Doing great, man. Glad to have you up. Had a little bit of a rough weekend. I know this last weekend, you're a little, you feeling all right after last night's Kokomo incident?
Yeah, my neck's a little sore, but.
Yeah, that was, I had a pretty up
close. I've had a headache all day, but.
I bet. I had an up close and personal view of that one. My mom was kind of like, whoa, right in my face. And then it was great that, like, later in the night, you came up and sat, like, literally right next to us in the stands. And I was like, Mom, that's the guy that's on the show tomorrow. And that's the guy that just flipped right in front of you. So
right.
It was kind of interesting. So it's cool you guys coming up in the stands there at the, with all the rest of us fans at Kokomo. And having you and the crew having some beers with us and enjoying the show. It was a great racing and everything. So.
Oh, yeah.
You were.
We had to stay watch. I had to learn something.
Absolutely. Man, after telling me here earlier before we started recording here that you got the short bars in the back of that old Twister, man, I think I gained even more respect for you out there doing what you're doing on the dirt because I spent a little time in a competition welding car, not myself driving, but working on one, setting them up. And those short bars are, that makes them a little tough. They're quick reacting. So the car's pretty well rode off, though, from what Dave told me in the stands last night, correct?
Yeah, I mean, it's as much money as you'd spend on fixing it, you know, we could get something that would put us at least on the same page with everybody else.
Car owner, car going to keep things going on? You guys going to move forward on the dirt thing still?
Yeah, we try to. You know, just, you know, Newman, I know he wants to run sprint week, and I'd like to do it too. I want to get more laps because every time I go out, you know, I get more confident and I learn something every time.
Absolutely.
You know? And, it's just going to help me when we go to Eldora with the champ car. And
yep. All those, you know, dirt races, really, for the dirt champ, it's going to make you better.
Yeah, I go all right on the miles.
You do real good on the miles.
And but when we go to a track that's a sprint car track, it's been on and off. You know, I finished fourth at Eldora in 07 at the Four Crown with the Silver Crown part of it.
Yep.
And, you know, we qualified in the front. I finished third at Terre Haute in 05. Just hit and miss here and there. So
yeah,
it's just getting to on the dirt is what I want to feel. And you know what I mean? And if you're completely in a one-off car, you know, that nobody's running anymore, they're fast. They're, you know, when J.J. Yaley could run them and haul ass in them and, you know, but it just seems so bouncy and unpredictable. And
they are. They're very quick reacting. Just because you got the coil front springs in the car, which are super quick reacting. And then you got the short bars in the back too, which are quick reacting as well.
And it's badass when it's slick though.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's great. But
Mount Pilliar, when we, you know, I started 18th and we ran 9th, which was nothing spectacular, but at least we felt like we were kind of gaining on.
Yeah, you made some progress.
Getting a feel for it. And,
absolutely.
Well, you know, we had 4 inches of stagger after that.
That sounds about on par.
Everybody else had 7.
That sounds on par, you know, for a coil car, though, honestly, from my experience.
I could run it through 3 and 4 there, like 6-8 laps from the end, and it felt like 3 and 4 through at Anderson.
Yes.
It was so rubbered up, and it'd go in there and bounce a couple times and carry the left front. And
off
I was
went.
Comfortable then.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just hard to work with.
Yeah, that's a tall order. I mean, it stinks that you guys had what happened last night at Kokomo, but, I mean, hopefully the car owner keeps things going, and maybe it'll be a blessing, and you guys get something a little more modern and comparable to what your competitors are running and kind of level the playing field for you and Dave with working on the car and the racetrack and stuff.
Oh, for sure. I mean, at least you can do is be able to, you know, at least walk down through there, and you can kind of eyeball how far their right rear's out or how high their car is. Or
yeah. How much birdcage can I see on the right rear versus the guy, the neighbors, or two good doors down kind of
and
thing.
Then, you know, we had everybody and their mom came down, you know, all week and wanted to tell us what to do with that car. And
I bet.
Newman, he just took a 5-gallon bucket and wrote suggestion box on it, you know, threw it up next to the trailer. And so, I mean, it's just a learning deal for me because I don't even know – you know, I don't even know what I would like. You know, I like the four-wheel drive part of it. I like it the way it feels on slick places. But when we have to free it up so much, and then anytime you get it close to any kind of a curb,
Oh yeah,
it feels like it wants to tip over.
Totally. So. Yeah, with those kind of chassis, the coil front and the short bars, your margin of error for the mechanic comes from my standpoint is it's really small compared to everybody else. Very, very narrow. He's got to nail it spot on. You know, he's got to get everything he can get from you and from feedback, and that just makes it harder. So, you know, I hope moving forward you guys can get something, at least a four-bar car probably best.
Yeah, for sure.
And get out there and see what's up. So no Williams Grove for you coming up this weekend. I know the show will air after that's taken place, but you're going to be running some Trans Am action out here at the Head IMS on the road course. That's going to be pretty awesome, huh?
Yeah, that's quite a transition from
I bet
from Auto City and the dirt that we've been running all week and everything.
From laying
else.
It all out to like, okay, now I got to be ultimate discipline.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a blast to go to be able to go down there. You know, Chris Santucci that used to work on, you know, a lot of Silver Crown stuff in the past.
Yep.
And done a lot with Swindells and Cameron Dotson and Carl Edwards and Stenhouse. And, you know, he takes care of a car that I driver coach a guy with that I got lucky enough to be able to race and in the whole deal. So I'm excited about that. I've been playing Forza at home just to figure out which way I'm going to go.
So where do you roll? For our listeners out there, where are you rolling in out at IMS this weekend?
It's a 2011 Z06 carbon fiber body, six piston Brembo. It's a, you know, they're $500,000 car.
Hell yeah. Sounds like it. Carbon fiber body and everything.
Yeah.
And I know those motors and those Corvettes are no joke. They got some bark to them.
Yeah, the cars we race, they weigh, they're almost like late models around here. They're supposed to weigh 2,700 pounds.
Wow, that is really light for a road race car.
And, you know, they're
production based.
650 horse, all carbon body, carbon brakes, pretty neat stuff.
Yeah,
you
all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
That's what's really cool about following you on social media is you you drive in so many different kinds of disciplines. Just real quick, I'm going to go through a few of them. Maybe if I can keep up with them all. On the sprint car side, you're doing wing and non-wing on asphalt. You're doing the traditional sprints on dirt. You're doing asphalt and dirt Silver Crown. You got the road racing with the Corvette.
Yep.
And I seen some go-kart street racing going on too, right? Is there anything I missed there in the list? Did I get it all?
If they did desert racing here in Indiana, I'd be down for that too. So
that's what I figured. That's awesome. That's one of the reasons I want to have you on the show, because you can just do so many different things, and it's just neat seeing. That's what's neat. You know, you're kind of a little bit of a throwback in that way. It's just, we don't really get a lot of that nowadays because everything's so specialized from the car owner side and the money, and you kind of dabble a little bit of all of it. So, and I know you elaborate a little bit how you do a little bit of the in your past, the driving coach on the road racing and stuff. So it's really neat to see someone get to do it. I know some of our other previous guests, they want to talk about the Gold Crown car on the road course. What's that thing's like? Those videos. It looks pretty fun.
That thing was a blast.
It looks like it.
I mean, we did it once before with Himmelgarn and Dennis LaClavola that works for them, and Roger Johnson. And, you know, I kind of got involved with that. That's kind of how that whole deal with the Corvette stuff that I'm racing got started, was through Roger and Dennis and Chris Santucci. The first time they went to do it, you know, they had a regular transmission in it like we used to run. Two-speed, you take off in the pits and shift into second. And
off you went, and that's all you
got.
There's
nothing you could shift.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They would brake going from first to second.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you were going to downshift them all day.
No.
Or do anything like that. So the first time that we went, we took that same car, had the old-style body on it, you know, and a regular 360 Silver Crown injected engine like we run now.
Yeah, okay.
And so we kind of got the gear right, and we made it to where you didn't have to shift it because it was going to break.
Yeah.
Because we tried shifting it.
And really not made for that.
The only time that you needed to shift it was your slowest part on the racetrack. So we figured out where we could leave it in gear and then foot it down to the end of the straightaway, you know, just to try to get it through there. And it went pretty fast. But then they did that new car and they took the transmission out of a, you know, like the Australian Supercar Series.
Yep. Okay. Yes. Bathurst.
CTSV, you know, BMW. It's all four-door stuff and it's all sequential. They've got a transmission from that style of a car.
Yeah, that was short enough in length, basically mechanically speaking, to work in the car.
The drive shaft's really short. You know, there was a lot of modification to the driveline and panhard bar. And, you know, he took the panhard bar out and made it three-link just to, you know. Dennis is really slick, if anybody knows who I'm talking about that works
his
for
car's
Himmelgarn.
Always, and him helping out Grant this year.
I told Justin at the beginning of the year when we were at Phoenix, I said, you're not going to have to worry about the pavement no more.
No.
I said, all you got to do is get in there and mash on the pedal.
Yep.
And obvious right off the bat.
Yeah, he said he saw a huge difference. And like you're saying, we saw a huge, you know, reflection of that in the results and how Justin did there at Phoenix up until he had his issue with the right front tire.
Right. And so, you know, we went down there and did that. And the second deal when we went that transmission, man, it was so fun. You could drive it anywhere, run 170 down a straightaway. You know, you're going from fourth to second going into one. And,
nice.
And it was
able to be aggressive with it.
And the video that's on there, you know, when we put new tires on it, it's just hard to figure out how hard you could hustle it. But after you put a set of tires on and you can drive it for so many laps and figure that out, you know, that video was taken with 20-lap tires. We got to figure out how old that really is.
Yeah.
You're making 17 turns. You know, it's different than it because they had M40s on the back.
Wow.
You know, sprint car stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, we're gauging, you know, and it makes a difference because you got to count every corner as almost a lap.
Yeah.
Instead of every lap as being a lap.
A lap, yes.
So, you know, when they had 20 laps on them, man, you had to be on top of the wheel. You could drive them sideways, and it would be so awesome to be able to come up with a race with that many people. But I've took that car down and got it approved for NASA. I ran a race at Memphis with Santucci and them.
Nice. Okay.
I took Roger's car down there, the one we're talking about.
Mm-hmm, the Corvette, yeah.
The Silver Crown car.
Oh, the Gold Crown car. Okay.
Yeah, because you have to run it in a race to get it approved.
Okay.
So we were trying to do that. Well, I was in front of Larry the whole time. And the Corvette's a little faster, you know.
Yeah.
But between experience, you know what I mean, and him being in the Corvette, I could stay out in front of him, and he tried and tried. Well, we raced. There was like 25 cars down there, and nice. We raced side by side, and I finally missed a shift and broke it.
Oh,
you
okay.
know?
Yeah.
But we found the weak link. And
that's what I was going to say. The weak link was probably the transmission.
Yeah, and it wasn't the transmission. It was just the way the third link hooked up to the frame that did it. But them things are a lot of fun. It's just other stuff that, you know, I've got two of them things hanging from our ceiling of our shop.
You might as well do something with them, right? Rather than just sitting there. And so that's what stinks about how that whole deal shook out and the way the car owners got kind of ran through the ringer and whatnot. But it is what it is. So it's done in the past.
Yep.
So let's move on to another topic. I know it's a little hot right now. And the main reason I want to have you on the show is I want to give a little light to your asphalt wing stuff.
I
really think that the decision that Tom Hartzell's made has been a wise choice. I think it's long overdue in that arena. And, you know, I've worked on those cars some with Bobby Santos, as you know, as a mechanic, and seen a lot of those races. Good stuff there. There's good things that come from there, but with it being divided, no one wins. And so this last weekend, you guys went to Auto City. Tom, with the Auto Value Series, opened up the tire rule, allowed the American Racer tires to come in and run.
Yep.
You guys had an increased car count, a lot better, a lot better for the fans. That's why I always felt what kind of chewed at me from going to those races and being there. I was like, man, these fans are paying. They don't get to see sprint cars every week, you know, and they come here and they pay, you know, an extra amount of money to come in and see them. And they only get to see 12 cars and 14 cars, 15 cars, and only 3 to 4 are competitive. So I think it's good things coming. I haven't got a chance to hear a lot of your thoughts on that and the other interviews and other shows with Dirty Dan and stuff. But let's hear your thoughts on that. Where do you think things are going? You think things are going the right direction?
You know, first of all, those cars are one of the most fun cars to drive.
They look like
as
it.
Far as a driver standpoint,
yep.
Because your setup can be a little bit off, and you know, you can you don't have to be right on to win a race because the cars behind you have to go in your dirty air.
Yep. Which is huge in those. I know
it's huge.
It's tough. It's a tall order to pass in those asphalt sprint races. And that's what maybe some of the fans who maybe aren't used to the asphalt sprint races with the wings. That's something to consider and to watch for is it's almost like you got to make dirty air your thing.
Yeah.
You know? Like the Outlaws do.
You can watch a World Outlaw race and you can watch a guy slide up and behind another guy in his car, like flap back and forth three or four times because the air that's getting taken off of it.
Yep.
And it's even exaggerated more when the wing's going straight.
Yes.
And doesn't have the sideboard that's just hanging out there.
Yeah, because
sideways.
When it's straight, it's all just all the air is just going straight up out the back of the car, and you're getting nothing on the front of yours when you're going in, so you have no front grip.
So dirty air is big, and, you know, it's easy to make your car go fast by itself, like I said, but those cars are so fun to drive, and you know, they used to have so many cars that it's just like the Silver Crown deal. They used to show up at Auto Value Race, or a Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Series race.
40 cars every
night. 10, 15 years ago.
Yep.
You know, not that long. Yeah. Especially 10 years ago.
Yeah, my cousin and dad used to, and uncles, they, you know, Dynamite race cars, they were big in that.
Yeah,
and I'm sure you remember those guys.
Yeah.
They used to be on that, and they used to get a lot of cars. I mean, it was always 20 plus every race.
Every time.
Everyone.
And, you know, they just, you know, if you look back to 2010... Actually, 2009, when Must-See started, they were on the same deal as everybody else with a Hoosier tire.
Yep.
Wasn't any big deal. And you had double the amount, not double, but you had 35, 36 cars at Bristol. And at Auto City, I remember I spun out and went back to 28th.
Nice.
And won.
That would be awesome for
but
the fans to see.
Still, I remember because I went back to 28. So there was 28 cars that started, and that was in 2013.
Now we're lucky to get half that, right?
Half that. And
on a good night.
Yeah. Yeah, on a good for either series. It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter.
The people in
the
stands don't give a shit what tire you're on.
They don't care. They don't care what tire you're on. They don't care how much it pays. They don't care whose name's on the series. They just want to see a good sprint car race, and that's what it's all about.
And what they remember about all of it is the names that are on the sides of the cars.
Yep.
Whether it be Sam Pierce Chevrolet or, you know, DJ Racing or, you know, any of it. That's what they remember. They remember the black 26 or they remember the black 22 or the white 9 or anything over the years. That's what they remember. They didn't pay any attention to what tire was on it.
No, they don't care.
You know,
they don't care. And they didn't care what kind of speed you're or times you're running. They just want to see a good race.
Yeah.
They want to be entertained.
Yeah. So
and that's what it's all about.
So the whole thing is the more people you can put in the stands getting in there is the more that the racetracks want to see. And if you're going to bring 13, 14 cars every week, that's not what they want to see.
No.
Because
these are people that are used to seeing their stock cars running at, let's say, Bear Field on a weekly basis. They're getting good cars. They're getting way more cars than that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, every
and those cars are boring to watch.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, CRA car. I love them to death. They're, you know, but they're compared to what I'm used to, and compared to what, you know, Bobby will probably tell you that one of those modifieds feels like slow motion.
Yeah, they're not. They're not sideways. Car. They're not throwing smoke off the right rear tires. They're not sliding around. You know, they're not doing. There's no action. They're disciplined. And there's nothing against that. If that's what you like, that's what you like, and that's what you go for.
Exactly.
But if you like sprint cars and you like going fast, you want to go there and you want to see them slide around. Like when my cousin Danny, they set track records at like was it New Paris and some of the other tracks up north, and Plymouth before it was dirt.
Yep.
You know, he's like, man, I watched him at Fort Wayne. He smoked the right rear tire all around the whole racetrack.
Oh yeah.
And I'm sorry if I'm a fan. And I'm not involved in it. I don't have divested in it, you know, interestly myself, my time. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And that's what those fans deserve to see because that's what those cars can do, honestly.
Yeah, you know what, you know, like one of the places around that gets the best crowd that I know of is Kalamazoo.
Oh yeah, the zoo. Places Kalamazoo, man.
Every time you go up there, I mean, the whole front stretch, you know, it kind of curves around to the to the suites there, and it's always packed. And you know, we went up there and ran pretty good. And
I wish they let you guys go up there and show them late model cars what's up on their track record deal, but I know that that's another subject.
I tried to get that going.
I heard that. They want nothing to do with you.
Well, the whole thing they made that out of, just back up real quick, was they wanted us to qualify on a 10-inch tire, which I don't think there'd be any problem with qualifying. You have to be able to make the race to be able to run for that call the wild thing.
Yeah.
You have to make the – well, I don't think there'd be any problem making the race.
Okay.
On a 10-inch tire. We had that all set up.
Yeah.
The whole thing was the sizes of the tires.
Yes.
And once we had all that figured out and we were trying to get in there, they were like, no, they don't. Because once you make the race, you can put our regular tires
whatever.
And then they were complaining about how long our sideboards was. And then they came out and they had like 13, 14-foot sideboards that were the length of the whole car.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We know what's up there.
Yeah.
That's all right.
My daughter could hold it around the floor around there.
Same with those super modified group. No offense to them, but we all know that sprint cars are faster than any winged wedge late model or a super modified.
Yep.
Hands down. You put them big blocks in them super mods, bring it.
Yep.
410 sprint car is going to stomp it any track, day, pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah, we didn't think we were going to get out of Sandusky alive.
I bet.
When we broke that record, broke the super record, and they still haven't broke it.
No, they're not going to either.
And then the Toledo
cars are king. Sorry, folks.
The Toledo record, you know, that was almost half second faster than the modified record.
Toledo is just they are so fast there. That place is awesome. I can't wait. I'm so glad we got our Silver Crown event moved from the spring. And maybe we'll get some dry weather.
Right.
Would be awesome because that track race is really good, I think, for the Silver Crown cars. And there's some following up there, I know, with the history and stuff. So hopefully we get a good draw. That's what we got, Salem and, well, next for you, Silver Crown wise, is going to be Salem and Toledo before Salem. You're going to go back on the dirt at Springfield, correct?
Yeah. We'll go run the dirt at Springfield and definitely be back at Salem, try to redeem myself from my spin out last year.
Yeah.
I just got too comfortable. It went in there about the first laps before that and kind of got sideways, and I just kind of let it go.
Kind of went with it.
There's a bump right there, you know, and it'd go over and it'd go across it and get a little free, and then when it would land, you know, it would shoot down the racetrack. Well, that second time I did it, it was like,
It didn't land.
No. It landed, but it
didn't point
when
the
it
right
did,
direction.
It didn't have the same grip that it had before, so...
You know what I'm really hoping to see from you this year is I want to see DuCoin to the track conditions that we didn't get last year, because you 2 years ago at DuCoin, the Silver Crown car, I don't know if these other guys are not over there, but it's just, wow. Aaron, that was pretty impressive. I saw sparks.
That was fun.
I saw sparks off your bumper more times than I don't even have fingers on my hands, both hands, to count those times. And that was amazing. Thrilling for the fans, I'm sure, and I'm sure ultimately thrilling for yourself.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I couldn't do anything at the bottom, and even if, you know, you go back through and watch those videos that Richard Gilardi there from Florida that always comes up and posts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all night, anywhere I could put my right rear, it would haul ass.
Yeah.
And I ran it up there, ran it, and the first few laps there, I could keep up with Cody, so I thought, well, I'm just going to stay up here. And if I would have had a little more experience, I would have moved down about 5-6 laps before.
Yeah.
And but I kept getting up there, and I, when Shane Cochran went by me there on the bottom going in, I thought, well, this is going to be my chance to race both of them,
because
I was so good getting off of four and
big time
and through the center of one and two.
Yep.
That I kind of tried to drive it in there too hard, and I slid up there, and instead of running my right rear up on that little bit of a curb that was left, I kind of bounced off of it.
Yeah.
And it bent to Jacob's ladder and spun it around backwards. But
yeah.
If I can put a whole race together like that, I think I could win one on the dirt
totally
for sure.
Think you can win, because
so far I'm only 60 in.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right. You're putting on a show for everybody. That's what's all that matters, and you'll get it figured out. Just gotta sometimes, like me, when I'm driving, I gotta write notes on the dashboard. Like, hey, take it easy, bud.
Right.
easy.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you get the silver crown, you get somebody jawing your ear. Maybe you need somebody to get on the radio and be like, hey, back it down a little bit.
Well,
we ain't got to do all that.
See, you can't always put it that way, because I had a new guy on the radio at the little 500. I had Justin Grant spotting for me up there.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And he did a really, really good job. I mean, really good job. And, after a few days, after I got upside down and all that, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, those guys just stopped. There wasn't.
Oh, totally did.
If it would have been a regular race where all that stuff wasn't up in the infield,
yes,
you could have been able to see through there.
Yes.
But with everything going on, you can't hear in those cars. It's not like, you have earphones on, but you still have all that shit around you.
Oh, yeah, all your ambient noise.
Yeah. And so, I don't even remember Justin saying anything. And, he said, after I called him, he's like, yeah, I called yellow a couple times, but it's so hard to hear, and there was just no reason to stop like that. But, put all that behind us, little 500's kind of been a pain in the ass this year, and got a little ambitious at Kokomo last night, which I got to put that on myself. I keep seeing guys throwing sliders on me like that. I thought I could do it too, but.
You got to give it right back to him, Aaron. And that's what you did, and I give you mad props for that, because unfortunately, as we were talking about in our previous episode, kind of some of us are a little disheartened by how today's dirt racing is so much. It's not so much I'm going to run this line and you're running up high and I'm going to pass you. It's I'm going to run low and I'm going to steal your line and I'm going to force you to do that. And it's just, the whole driving game is a lot different than it was even 15 years ago, 10 years ago. It's completely different as it was. And it's kind of frustrating, I guess, coming from the way it was before, and I'm sure from all of us who drive and put cars together, it's hard. But sometimes that's what you got to do, is you just got to drive them like they drive you, and that's all you were doing last night. I don't fault you for nothing. You did. You did a great job for what you were working with on chassis-wise especially.
Right.
You and Dave got a tall order there on that deal.
Yeah, for sure. But, that's just, there's no, there's a lot of it, even at Mount Pilliar, there's not a lot of respect for,
none.
The next guy making it out of the corner.
Now,
as far as, I'm going to throw a slide job on you so hard that you're going to have to let off, or we're both going to be wrecked.
No, there's none, and that's what me and the guys here at the table from, Cole and Ben and Jake and Chris, we were talking, and it's just like the drivers they can't even go and talk to each other about things after something happens. You can't even go and just voice your displeasure, let alone deck him in his nose or his eye if that's what he deserves.
Right.
And that's kind of the big problem with the whole thing, is you got all these guys coming from money, and they don't work for it, and they don't have the respect for the equipment. They don't have respect for their own equipment, let alone yours.
Somebody else's, yeah.
Yeah, they just don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Pardon my French, but that's just the way it is, and it kind of sucks.
Right.
Personally.
For sure.
The racing is great. Kokomo was awesome last night. We saw the highlights from Lawrenceburg Midget Week, the Slide Job Fest. But it's like, Rico is great, but can Rico hold his line and pass somebody? Or is the only way he can pass is to just take somebody else's line away? I just don't. It's just not racing quite to, I guess, the way that a lot of us older, you're my age. We
right.
grew up around like that.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating. Very frustrating. I wish that there was a way that they'd at least allow the drivers, just the drivers themselves, to go in an area and voice their concerns to each other and work it out.
And yeah, it's
at least threaten each other. Jeez, come on. Make a promise.
At least
beat
make
your
a promise.
Ass if that's what you got
You
coming.
Know what, though? That's... watching Rico do that is that's fun to watch. I mean, it's fun for me to watch. You know,
to watch, but you don't want to be in this.
No, you don't want to be in the middle of it. But no. It is definitely fun to watch. And you know, if that's I think the little Shelton girl, what was her name? Holly.
Holly, yeah, she held her.
She did a great job, man. And
yes.
and never faltered from anything that he threw up there or any of them, because it wasn't just Rico.
No,
you know
it
what
wasn't.
I mean?
No, it was all of them. That's just the way they all drive.
Yeah.
That's what's unfortunate. That's what I was watching last night. We had Courtney Crone. She's a midget driver from the West Coast. She does some road racing stuff, involved with the Lynn St. James program. And I was kind of just, first time I've gotten to see her watch in person, and she was, like, so respectful about holding her line down low. If she moved up the track, she always made room for the other car on the outside, where it's like, if that was one of the top running guys in the Clawson or the Coons cars, they weren't going to hold that line. They were just going to blast through it and screw you.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I kind of feel like we'd be refreshing and the racing would be better in the end if we could have some people that had a little more respect and, for the other crew, the other driver, the other equipment, and your own.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure.
It's definitely frustrating.
And that goes more ways than one, you know. Just like the tire deal that you were asking me about that we were talking about earlier. We were at South Bend, and, you know, they were all bent out of shape. There was only 8 or 9 cars or whatever there was. And, you know, Hartzell comes over, and it's me and Bobby Santos and Jason Blonde and Jeff Kaiser and, you know, some other guys that run that.
The hardcore guys that support
time.
That style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, he says, hey, guys, what do I need to do? And me and Bobby were just talking about this with Jason Blonde right before he ever came up and asked us. And, you know, me and Bobby just kind of looked at him like, what's going on? And we're just like, look, dude, lift the tire rule. I mean, what other
it's the main
thing
is
like we were
back.
Talking about before. Before we got off there a little bit about, from 2010 to now, you had in 11, the Must See Racing go to American Racers.
Yes.
Hoosier and, or not Hoosier, but Auto Value and Haas, Hoosier Outlaw Sprint Car Series.
Yes.
Stayed in their own direction. Okay. They went along, tried to race with each other, and I tried to run both. Other guys,
yeah, you
don't
were one
have,
of the few that went back and forth.
Yeah, the other guys don't have the sets of wheels that we have.
Yep,
and I have all my pavement stuff is the same. My wing pavement and my non-wing pavement, the wheels are all the same. So it's not like I got to go buy extra stuff like everybody thinks. I already got them.
Yeah, for the listeners, you know, so a huge amount of effort, especially on the asphalt, because you guys changing, you know, usually you're changing left rear, right front tire when you change tires, typically speaking. It's a massive amount of work to be done to dismount those tires and switch everyone over. You know, you got to switch three sets over minimum, you know, 2 to 3 to brand. It's a lot of work for guys.
Yeah, to show up and be able to run practice and qualifying on another brand, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
You're mounting 8 tires.
Exactly.
That's going to take you a good hour and a half, hour and 10. I know Newman's pretty good at it, and Newman could probably knock it out in about 45 minutes, but I'd like to see a race.
Yes, exactly.
Newman could do it faster than about anybody.
Yeah.
But
he can have it. I don't want to mount those pavement tires at all. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the biggest thing. So we were like, look, just take that out of it.
Yeah.
You know, the whole car count started going down when the tire deal split.
Absolutely.
So let's take the tire deal out of at least one side of it.
Yep.
If the other guy doesn't have the balls enough to step up.
Let him do his own
thing.
And
say, okay, well, but.
He's been silent through this whole thing.
That's his best attribute.
Yeah, I know.
But if we stay persistent on it and it makes a difference on the side that we're working on, and you say, okay, the first week we got 9 more cars than we got last week. 3 of them was on American
Racers.
You're gonna prevail. All right. We're doing the bonus deal that Dan was talking about for 3
absolutely.
Weeks.
Nice. So that's awesome.
That's 3 races. So that's
so,
going to
so
stay.
Let's let everybody know. So let's get that out there. So
yeah, if you show up at any Auto Value race, you get a $200 bonus just for showing up and racing the feature on an American racer. And if you win with an American racer, you get another $500 bonus.
So you get $700 more just to do those tires. And they're good tires.
Yeah,
especially
they're good tires.
They're, in my opinion, from working on with Bobby, they're a better tire in the long run. So if you're going to a race that's a longer laps, the American racer might
and
be the better one.
It's not always longer laps, you know. Toledo, Winchester, which we don't have
wear.
A chance to race there, but
yeah.
Toledo, Winchester, Salem, Pensacola, Mobile.
Oh, I miss Pensacola, Mobile this spring so bad.
You know, those are all places.
Can we get, what do we got to do to get those back on the schedule? That was a great trip.
That'd be something that wouldn't be that hard to do.
Yeah. Those fans down south loved those sprint cars.
And Tim that owns Pensacola,
mm-hmm.
he wants us to come back.
I mean,
he's been...
There's talks of a Silver Crown race down there.
Yep,
so I like that. That place is... me and Bobby both have talked greatly about both those facilities. And Montgomery was a great place, too, I liked.
Yeah.
And we were well-received by the fans. We had decent crowds, considering we'd only been there a couple of years. I was really disappointing this year that we didn't get to see that through and continue that... the continuity of it, so that the fans are familiar, like, hey, in the springtime, the sprint cars are coming back to Five Flags. They're coming back to Mobile.
Yeah.
We're coming back to Montgomery. So I'd like to see those tracks are awesome. I kind of like those better than Winchester and Salem myself. I feel like they race a little better.
Yeah, and they, you know, they do, but if a guy likes Pensacola, he's usually the type of guy that likes Winchester.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're both...
They're
hammer
right there.
Down
yes, sir.
Pavement places,
yes, sir.
You know, for sure, especially with the wing.
Yes, and, big time.
Silver Crown race would be really fun
down
there.
Oh, yes, it would. Either
sure.
one of those two, either one of those three tracks really
Even
would,
Mobile, yeah.
Yes, Mobile and Pensacola would be great. And they got a lot of history there down there with the running the wing super modifieds that they used to call them back in the 70s and such. A lot of history with the Allisons and guys like that typically didn't run, you know, they ran stock cars and... They had a big following down there in that area, so I feel like we need to try and get back down there. I hope that Tom can work that out for the springtime.
Well, I think, isn't it, who's the guy that owns the place? It's, he used to drive the Roush Craftsman truck, the 6.
Which track is that? That one
Mobile.
Mobile. I don't know the ownership down there, but great places. Great places. So... You ready to get going for what's first up? We got Toledo and then Salem, right?
Silver Crown wise,
yes.
Toledo, I'm not even sure what the date of it is with everything else I've got going on, but yeah, Toledo, and then the Salem race.
You guys ready to go for the asphalt side and everything?
Yeah, we've you know, our deal out at Phoenix. We had an MSD box.
Yeah,
go out.
Yeah, never being pitting neighbors next year. I know you guys struggle with
I've
that.
I've seen
a
that
bit.
So many times, and that was the last car that I had one on. Mm. Honestly,
I'm kind of with you on that sentiment.
I'd
rather have that reliability factor there, especially Silver Crown wise, because that's what you want to have a car that that's going to last you. And Silver Crown, we don't really need all that power, especially on the asphalt side.
I can tell you one thing: the day that we get on the plane and I see an MSD box on one of the engines,
yeah,
I'll go buy some more.
There you go.
Because the plane that we have has got some regular old, you know, Vertex Hunt style.
Yeah. External coil works every day, all day
yes.
long, no problem
yep.
for seasons.
No problem.
Yeah, like you refresh your ignition up once every 2 years versus
it, there's,
all
it
the
seems
damn
there's
time.
An issue
Always.
To where, you know, like you see the drag racers, they pull up to the line, they got two mags. Sticking out two ignitions.
Yes.
Right. Well, all the stock car guys, you see, they've got two boxes or
oh,
two
yeah.
of each and two of this.
It's because the shit doesn't work.
It don't
good.
Work. Just put one of yeah. something that's really basic
just
and easy
plugs
on.
Plugs away and you forget about it.
You forget
it
about
and forget
it.
And it just plugs away like a sewing
and
machine.
And we came back to the shop, man, after, because I took it all apart in the pits and pulled all the plugs, and you guys were right next to us.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
you guys were thrashing.
I wasn't going to put it up until I knew what was going on
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely.
And finally, I said, it's got to be the ignition or the box.
Yeah.
We brought it back and put a new MSD box on it, and it fired right up, and it make you want to kick shit, man.
Well, that's what's frustrating about the MSD stuff is it's almost like you have to have like two complete entire systems, and as soon as one thing goes wrong with the ignition, you know it's ignition, you just replace the entire ignition system, and then you just have to send said entire ignition system off to someone and have them check it and figure out what's wrong. And because if not, if you screw around trying to chase at the racetrack, you just chase it all day long and you'll never figure anything out. So why not just put something in there and just goes?
That's what I did up at Auto City with Turnbull's car.
Saw that. That was awesome that you guys did that for your team too. You and Rusty and Dave all threw down, and you guys, for whatever reason, your car wasn't working anymore, and you were like, hey, we're going to help this guy. Bring your car over here to our trailer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're going to throw our mag and ignition system in your car so you can go out and run. And that really says something about your guys' commitment to the whole wing asphalt thing and what you're trying to do, it's awesome.
Man, I'm like that a lot. You know, I mean, sometimes I get kind of my ass ripped for being that way in one way, and then on the other side of it, you know, I was helping him before my car broke.
Yeah.
You know, I was down there trying to help him.
Yeah.
You know, kind of figure out what was going on, and when I came back through, I was like, I knew we had a brand new mag in the box and
ready to go.
My car was broke, so I said pull it down here because I didn't want to work out of his toolbox.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so Rusty threw a mag in it, and they went out and started it, and it wasn't any different. And I said, man, have you put plugs in it? He said, yeah, I put plugs in it. I said, well, get another set.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
So we got
porcelain crack
eight
or
brand
something.
New plugs put in there, and it fired up. So he had been actually dicking with plugs.
Okay.
Most of the night. You'll know that. You know, he got
We've
to fire up, and he started last, and he ran six or seven.
He did. He had a good run. Made him a few bucks, I'm sure,
yeah.
And stuff. That's awesome.
Those guys are really good guys, and I talked to him on the phone this week, and you know, they didn't know whether to come up on an American racer or what. And I just told them, I said, it doesn't matter what tire you're going to run.
Just bring what
just
you got.
Just bring whatever.
Yeah, whatever you have in your shop and you have mounted, bring it up here and race.
You know, there was another guy up there that, you know, he had some old American racers. And he was just going to take the 200 and then start and park, you know.
Yeah.
Which was fine, you know, whatever.
Whatever, it's your prerogative.
Yeah. And so he didn't have any tire. He didn't want to run his American racers because he didn't have any tires for the next week to go to Spartan or wherever he was going.
Yeah.
So I went down and got him 20 lap scuffs.
Perfect for him.
Out of our tire rack that were already dismounted, and said, here, start on your American racer, take your 200 and take these to next week.
Absolutely. And run the whole race, put on the show for the fans. That's awesome. That's what that whole asphalt side needs more of. There's more people doing that, more people helping out. I know Bobby's thrown some tires to some guys from the team before.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he's thrown me. I didn't get to end up using them for my vintage car. We were supposed to have an asphalt race last year, and he's like, here, I got four tires. Take them, mount them up, go run, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, you know. And we need more of that all around, on dirt, too, for that matter.
Oh, for sure. And I think it made a difference, really.
It really has. We've already, I mean, you guys are the whole deal with Tom deciding to do this and Dirty Dan coming out with his podcast and his Facebook Live things and
you know,
touring
and
with you guys. That's really, I think it's good for it. It just brings attention to the whole deal.
Everybody was trying to give me, or not everybody, but a few guys that would have came to the race.
Yeah.
Were trying to give me a hard time and my dad a hard time, and we were paying Dan to come up here, and we were giving him all this money.
So what if
the
you
only
were,
thing
you're doing it for the benefit of the whole deal? Even
I
even
did
if
it.
You were, I don't know any of those details, but even if you were, great,
right? But
awesome.
But that's what's funny about it is I did it for everyone else to get some exposure because really we go to a racetrack with Auto Value or whatever. Nobody sees anything of it other than. You know, a guy's live Facebook Live thing.
Yeah, or if you happen to go one of the tracks that does have race monitor, you know, if Bobby's off racing somewhere and I'm not there, that's the only way I know what's going on is the race monitor, if they even have that technology.
But that's
there.
What I had Dan do, is I called him after the tire deal changed, and I said, hey, look, I know it's not much of a heads up.
Yeah.
I said, but between now and Saturday, I want you to do everything you can to put out this tire deal and talk everything about, you know, getting this out to where, you know, getting other people to come race with us.
Absolutely.
And I said, I want you to come up Saturday, you know. He says, well, if he comes to the shop, it'd be cheaper for him. He don't pay for it. So he comes to the shop. We take him up there.
Yeah, he hangs out
with
you guys.
I bought his gas to the shop. Yeah. He rode up there with us. He stayed at my house. He came up there and really did that for nothing.
I know.
He did it because
he loves
I asked
it. He loves
him
what
to,
we do.
And he likes what all of us do.
It's cool. And he gets into it.
When I went up there to, when we were in the driver's meeting the other day, you know, some of those other guys had said, well, they're just paying him to come up there and whatever, which wouldn't matter. But we're in a driver's meeting, and I kind of stopped, and I said, hey, look, you know, I brought Dan up here for everybody, not myself.
Yeah.
You know, and I told Dan when we got there, I said, go somewhere else. He's been up my ass 2 weeks at a little 500.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Go
we
down
all saw
through
those
there
videos.
And hit all them guys. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why I did it. It wasn't for any benefit for myself. It was just to show that there's an effort being put out to get them and all the other drivers out that go and do that, you know, and try to make an effort because nobody else is.
No. The series does. I mean, I literally, on Facebook, I like each one of individual series, you know, and I wouldn't even know they were even racing if I didn't follow guys like your pages and that tell me what's going on.
Yeah, like, without going to look at their schedule or something, you'd never know.
Yeah,
and that's
no idea.
Why...
And they're really just missing the boat on that. It doesn't really take a lot of effort and time to, you know, sit on social media and plug some stuff out there. I can do it. If I can do it with my little podunk vintage race car and my 305 that I haven't even ran yet,
right?
Those guys can do it.
For sure.
Some other people can do it too.
Right.
It's not that hard. You don't have to have Dirty Dan or people like Bob, you know, to pump it out there. So get on that, guys.
Yeah.
Get out there, utilize that social media, and pump your name out. Build your brand.
Because there's not very many people that do it.
No, they're not. And the ones that do it and that embrace it and they make it their thing, they really do well with it, I feel. You know, I feel like USAC as a whole has done great with that, with Georgia working on the deal with those guys.
How would you not?
I mean, she's done a phenomenal job, and well, besides the point, you know.
That's easy.
Yeah, but...
You know what I mean?
But,
that'd be...
No, but the content she puts out is good.
Yes.
You know, the interviews she does as well, and the videos she puts out and stuff, that helps a lot. And just those little bits, and that's one thing, the big things on USAC's side that Spridge has been preaching, and I think he's kind of right on, even though he and I kind of butted heads on that a little bit, but I think it's done well for him, and I think that some of these other forums need to embrace it.
I think
the wave of the future.
Good, you know, I mean,
it's free. It's, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really cost you anything to do it.
No, it doesn't.
Just get it out there. Just a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Pump out the knowledge. Let people know when you're racing, where you're going to be at, and do it more than a couple of days ahead too.
Yeah, for sure.
Do it a week and a half ahead. You know, so people will kind of be like, hell, there's Wing Sprint cars coming here in a week and a half. Let's go out for that on Saturday night.
And
take
everybody,
the kids,
everybody
you know?
Leaves it on a racetrack. Well, the racetrack's only going to do so much. I don't give a shit what racetrack it is, whether it's Lawrenceburg or Anderson for their weekly. You know, it's the same.
Yeah.
You know, so if you don't go above and beyond as far as promoting yourself, as far as that goes, and I'm not any good at it. You know what I mean? That's why.
That's why you got Dan coming on.
That's why I had Dan
come
do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's pretty good at it. And
he certainly is. He's very passionate.
Yep.
I enjoy his coverage. I miss his, when he did the dirt stuff with the sprint cars, that was great. I loved his just, you know, you had Sean doing his Jack Slash thing, which was great. And he does an awesome job with that. And he really boosts our sport too. But guys like Dan do it grassroots and just from the, he's not making no money off that. He's ain't making. He's spending.
Yeah.
He's actually spending money. If you get right down to it, all is expensive and everything.
Yeah,
and that's
I paid
awesome.
For his gas, bought his pit pass.
Yeah,
bought him some food.
Yeah, like he was a crew guy.
You know what I mean?
Like he was a crew guy that came and shut up, busted his ass, worked on the car all week. You know, same kind of deal. And that's when that kind of goes hand in hand. So that's awesome that you guys.
And that's what
deal
he,
with.
You know, that's what he told me. He said, "Look, just cover my expenses."
Yeah, he's in it for heart and soul. Yeah. That's what's awesome about Dan. I love him. He's you know. He has his own radio deal, but I don't look at him as a competitor. We're in the same we're in the same boat and we're fighting the same battle. Right. And we're just doing it together, and he's doing his and I'm doing yep. mine, and we'll get it there.
Yeah. So, nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, that's just, I really hope that asphalt sprinkle thing comes around, you know, because you guys got a really good thing going. It's some good racing there. The speeds are phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, you've been going a little more with Bobby. And
yeah. I
until you went to a place like, I mean, you were at Winchester, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Winchester. I've been to Toledo. Been to Pensacola yeah. Mobile. I mean,
you stand in the middle of the corner and watch the center of the corner speed.
Flying, dude.
The World Outlaw stuff's fast, but it's sideways, and they still have wheel spin.
Yeah.
Our stuff is locked down. And
for me, the most impressive thing is the most impressive thing for me, though, is watching your car warm up in the pits. I just love hearing your engine run. Yeah. It makes a certain extremity of mine grow.
Right.
And I start to drool. Yeah, your engine is wow.
Yeah, that thing that we've kind of done that deal between a few people, some different drag race guys and some guys that make a lot of power with SB2 stuff that's yep. old technology.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dime a dozen.
Yep.
You can go buy the stuff. It's old, wore out, you know, NASCAR stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we've kind of done a deal with the injection and...
Yeah, I've seen a glimpse of it
right.
in the last 3 years. Your guys are awful secretive about it.
Well, I mean...
You still are. I'll keep hoping through the years go, you'll take the covers off and let me see what you're doing in there, but...
No,
I know
really,
that's all good. You guys got your own thing going, and you're spending the time and the money and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, and it really just makes the drivability of it better.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes good power, but as far as throttle transitions on and off the gas and the way it keeps the fuel to the engine when it's wide open.
So you're a little more electronic, basically. I don't want to give away what, but just my observation. You're more along the electronic ignition or injection side of things, or
no? Because that's illegal.
Okay.
Manual injection.
So still mechanical.
Mechanical
still
injection.
Still old school. Everything. You
yeah.
just found something there that's really working for you guys.
It's cable drive, just like a Silver Crown car.
Yep.
And it's just the difference in the injector and what we've done with that, and it really works pretty good, and once we get it perfected, we'll maybe be able to spread it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly good, because you guys...
It's impressive when it's really good.
It certainly is, let me tell you. And whenever you got the hood off the car, I'm looking. Come on, pull that blanket off there.
I saw
bit.
You when we were at Mobile trying
yeah,
to switch
sure.
it over.
Oh,
I said,
yeah.
you guys are going to have to cover that back up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Phoenix, I was looking pretty hard, too,
yeah.
but whatever.
Yeah, but see, we've got that on everything.
I know you do.
And, you know, the only thing we don't have it on is the car that I broke the record with at South Bend. I just had a regular old, you know,
standard
conventional deal on it.
Yep.
And as a good short track motor. And then the motor we took up to Auto City over the weekend, it was one of the new motors that we've done. And, you know, we're Evan Jackson, does my engine, has got a lot of connections with the dirt modifieds and NASCAR side in general.
Gotcha.
So we get some help from Hendrick on camshaft and
nice
headers and mm-hmm. you know other stuff. But it's just information. It's not something that you know. We build a new motor for about $25,000, brand new.
Hell yeah!
You can't go buy one for that.
That's no, you cannot.
You know,
you
so,
cannot.
You know, everybody gives us a hard time about spending so much money, but they wouldn't realize how much money we save ourselves by building our own motors
in house,
dynoing our
yep.
own stuff. Building our own bodies. I build all the carbon fiber bodies that we have.
Well, I paid a lot of attention to your guys's the bump stop thing you guys do. It's something that kind of allures me. I'm a big kind of a geometry guru, suspension guy and stuff.
But the thing is with that is another thing that's funny is anybody that knows too much about, I know Bobby knows, each bump stop spring and the collar that keeps it from riding on the shock body
mm-hmm.
is about $100.
Yep.
I bought every single spring out of the McMaster die book, stamping die springs. That's what I run. They were $7 a piece.
Hell yeah. Well, I could tell those.
I went through and raided them.
That's why I was like the first time we were down there at Mobile a couple of years ago, when I was like looking at these bump springs. I was like, man, what's he got going on here? You know. And then the next year we went. Me and Bobby went and spent a day at Bubba Gale.
Yeah,
you know, at their place for an afternoon on the machine and stuff, and learned a lot there. And then like seeing what you did the year before and that same year, and then talking to those guys, like, it was like a big eye opener. I was like, I see what you guys are trying to do. And
it all comes to loading a tire.
Yeah. Big time.
And like the wing cars don't load the front tires.
No, not
the
at
back
all.
Tires are overloaded.
Yes. Big time.
So that's why I run the bump stop stuff on the front now. I've ran it on the back, and you know, Bobby has good luck with it.
Yep.
But we switched to running it on the front and just running real, real, real big springs on the back. And seems to be more forgiving, you know.
Yeah, I know Bobby, when he and I've talked about, he's kind of gone away from using the bump stops and gone to the bump springs.
Yeah, because you got plastic, you know, really it's rubber.
Yeah.
And stores energy.
And it's
not
as consistent, yeah.
The consistency of it is usually there unless the rubber gets hot.
Yeah.
But the storage of the energy is what makes it ride rough, mm-hmm. and makes it really bouncy.
Yep.
And
that's kind of what we experienced at Hickory, I know, last year.
Yeah. And the gap that you have, you know, if you, the less gap you have, the rougher it's going to ride.
Yep.
The more load it's going to have, but you know, it's got to get over the bumps before anything happens.
Exactly.
So that whole deal is really interesting to do. And, you know, we went to the PRI show, and they had some pull-down rigs down there. And we went and bought four monster truck cylinders, steering cylinders, and a valve body, and we built one.
Nice.
You know, we made it to where we could pull our cars down on our surface plate, up on a set of scales.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
The cars at Pensacola weighed 7,500 pounds, pulled down.
Wow, that's a lot.
And that's not measuring any tire squash.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Just pulled down
that's
on
just
the scales.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's 1,600 pounds with the driver and 7,400 in the middle of one and two.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're nearing the end here, Aaron. You got any social media sites or websites or sponsors? I know your dad's big behind you. You got anything?
Yeah,
you
my dad's
here
always been
wrapping up?
Been big behind us. And, you know, he's always been big about getting other people. He's always called it a back scratching deal. Just like, you know, a lot of the money we get to race on comes from Valvoline.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted all the oil in the dealership and nice. The cleanup supplies and this and that. So my dad worked out a deal on
that's
that.
Massive.
And
that's a big help.
You know, Cooper Tire usually takes care of most of my tire bill every year for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But every tire that gets put on a car at our dealership gets bought from Cooper Tire. So, you know, we've just got some avenues that to work to where we can be lucky enough to do what we do.
Yep, absolutely.
And I totally appreciate everything that my dad and G&G Oil and Valvoline does for us. You know, we couldn't do it without them. So, you know, I'm in a lucky spot, and I've ran into some good deals here, especially with LSI Racing and Chris Santucci and all that deal. So, if anybody's around at the Speedway, come down, check out the Trans Am race. You'll definitely see another transition for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Yeah, so well, I guess once this thing airs, we're probably looking at next races for you. It's going to be Toledo and Salem for the Silver Crown end of July.
Yep.
And come check those out, USACRacing.com for the schedule on those. Aaron will also be at Springfield on the dirt side of the Silver Crown.
Yep.
And you can check out other schedules for him on the Auto Value Super Sprint Series and on the asphalt with the wings and stuff, right?
Yep. And, you know, some of the must-see racing stuff we'll try to hit. And Trans Am Series is around, too, you know, Road America and some other stuff that's kind of in the vicinity. So
awesome.
Check that out, too.
Well, hey, Aaron, it's been a pleasure having you on tonight. Thanks for coming down here to the Antelope Club, downtown Indy. Excellent food, excellent beer. The $5 burger special this week was off the chain, I just got to say. A bunch of us ate that.
I think I'm going to have to try one of
those.
Yeah,
I think you kind of missed out on that earlier, but I know you were at the race shop and stuff. So, but, hey, thanks to JL Media, Johnny, for putting all this together, as always. Full Throttle Motorsports Hour on Facebook page. And stay tuned, race fans. Thanks for listening. See ya.